Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Becky McIntyre, North America Channels Leader. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and I want to thank everybody for joining the call today. I greatly appreciate it. We have a subject that is near and dear to everyone's heart and a lot of good information for you today. So with that, I wanted to make sure everyone on the call understood this is a two-call series that we have today and tomorrow. Today we have Chris Follinsby, who will be focused on our updates and our changes and what's going on with the SBI program as it stands today. And for those of you partners that are out there as new partners, this will give you a great basic foundation and what to expect as you get more involved with SBI. So with that, that's going to be today's presentation. And tomorrow, we will have Mary Cipriani spending more time down into the details of how to work in GPP and how to be very efficient and effective in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. So I encourage you all to join tomorrow as well as Mary takes everyone through GPP in more detail. So with that said, I am going to turn it over to Chris Follinsby, who is our SBI leader for North America, so she can get right into the presentation.
Thank you, Becky, and thanks to all of you all for joining the call today. Before I get started, let me just alert you that we discovered moments before the call started that we have a little blip with the presentation. The presentation that I'm going to be using today accidentally got posted on the URL for tomorrow's call. So in your invitation, you should have today's call details and tomorrow's call details. If you will go to the URL for the Thursday call, you can access the presentation. If for some reason you can't find it there, please feel free to contact either Mary Cipriani or Kathy Johnson at IBM. I'm just looking to see. Kathy Johnson is K-A-T-H-Y-J-O-H at us.ibm.com. And Mary Cipriani, I believe, is M-C-I-P-R-I-A-N. Is that right, Mary?
Yes.
At us.ibm.com. Okay, so as Becky said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend some time today helping everybody to understand the program updates that have occurred for Software Value Incentive in this past year. We have seen so many changes and updates to the SBI program in the last few months that we wanted to spend time today going through those with you. As you are probably aware, SBI is the channel incentive program that everybody wants to be part of, and it's important that business partners and IBMers understand the program details so that everybody can maximize their profits in software. As Becky mentioned, today is part one of a two-part series. Tomorrow, Mary Cipriani is going to take you through the details. Her call will actually be 1 hour earlier than this call, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And as I said, she's going to get into the details of getting started with GPP for SBI. We hope that you will be sure to have anyone in your firm who is new to GPP listening in on her session, and it will also be an excellent refresher for those of you who only use GPP occasionally. Okay, with that, let's go to Chart 2 and look at the agenda. We know there are a lot of business partners who are new to the program and who have been enrolled in the program but not really utilized it yet. So before I get into the updates, I'm going to go through a very high-level view of SBI. Then I'm going to talk about the changes we made earlier this year that were designed to decrease the administrative burden on business partners when submitting claims for payment. In April, we announced an SBI competitive incentive, which, while it's not part of the base SBI program, it works in conjunction with SBI. This incentive allows you to earn up to 2 times normal SBI fees for replacing competitive software, and I want to be sure everybody is aware of it. In May, we implemented a change to the special bid process, and that's designed to reward business partners who utilize SBI to register their opportunities. One of the most exciting changes that we've made to SBI this year is the change in program rules for software value net opportunities. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the recent SBI revalidation process that was completed in August, like yesterday. In the past, we've done an annual revalidation of certifications for SBI in January, but with the implementation of SVP, we will now be doing that revalidation twice a year simultaneously with the SVP revalidations. Since you're all on mute while I'm doing the presentation, I would ask that you note any questions you have throughout the presentation, and at the end, we will open up the line for questions. Okay, as I promised, I said I would give a high-level background about SBI. It was announced as a channel incentive program at PartnerWorld in March of 2006, and we went live in April of that year. The design of the incentive program was different from most of our previous incentives in that we were rewarding the partner who identified and influenced software sales whether or not they fulfilled the order. We accomplished this by using a deal registration system, which is in GPP, and this allows business partners to retain more margins. As you will note on the increased ROI bullet, partners can earn incentives from 5% to 20%, no matter who fulfills the deal. This is a first-in program, and it rewards the partner who is the first business partner to register a qualified opportunity. So the first approval that we do when a partner registers an opportunity is simply for eligibility. No fees are paid until the opportunity is actually closed, and then the business partner, submit your opportunity again for payment. We do a second review of your sales documentation. At that point, the fee payment is determined. Fees are based on customer type and market segment, whether it's GB or enterprise, and they're also based on your level of eligibility. Again, keep in mind this is different from many of our other incentive programs in the past because it is independent of who fulfills the opportunity. I've got this in red because I cannot emphasize it enough, but SBI is the value program that we are promoting to our business partners. If you were around for the program when it started in April of 2006, I think you'd probably agree with me that it's still the same base program, but we have added so much to it, as you're going to see as I go through these charts. Okay, again, at a high level, let's talk about how do we determine the eligibility level. In the previous chart, I had mentioned that fees are based on eligibility level, if it's ID and sell or sell only. How do we get to that determination? Well, we basically look at the GPP record as it is submitted by the business partner and, first of all, determine if it's complete. If so, we then go to GPP and we look to see, is there another opportunity already registered in GPP for this brand family for this customer? Or I should say, as the chart says, is this the first opportunity that's registered in GPP for this brand family for this customer? If it's not, then we determine that this is probably a duplicate and most likely we will deny participation to the second business partner. If it is the first opportunity, then we'll go to the next step and we will actually go out to the IBM CRM database and look at the IBM identified opportunities and determine if IBM has already identified this brand family for this customer. If not, we'll approve the business partner's opportunity for SBI for ID and sell. And if we do find that IBM's already identified the customer, we will then look at the IBM Siebel record and determine if the business partner who is providing the registration for SBI is listed as a sales team member on that opportunity. If they are, we will approve the opportunity for sell only. If not, it says we return it to draft. Sometimes we'll actually do some legwork and actually try to contact the CRM owner and determine if it is, if they are working with the business partner who submitted the registration, although we don't tell the IBMer what business partner did submit it. So as an overview, this is how we get to the point where we determine, is the opportunity eligible for ID and sale, meaning that you, the business partner, identified it and you're also going to lead the sales efforts? Or is it just approved for sell because IBM identified the opportunity? We will send you a note, and we check this for every brand family. So if you register an opportunity that's got three brand families, we'll go through this same scenario for every brand family, and you could have multiple eligibility levels within an opportunity. If you look at the note there in the bottom right-hand corner, we say note that eligible full participation or eligible partial participation refers to the number of line items approved and not the type of fees. So in my example where you have three opportunities that you submit for eligibility, we could come back and tell you that for two of them, you're eligible for ID and sell, and for the third one, we found a duplicate, so you're not eligible for that one. In that case, the opportunity would be returned to you with a notification saying that your opportunity has been approved for eligible partial participation. Partial meaning the two out of three lines that we approved, not the fact that we approved it for ID and sell. That's a confusing point, so I just want to stress that. Okay, so let's go to chart number five and look at the fee summary. SBI is a rich program, and as I mentioned earlier, the fees are based on the customer segment as well as the eligibility level. This chart summarizes by customer segment how much or what percentage in fees can be earned depending on whether or not your opportunity for ID and sell or for sell only. You will note that we've got something there that says fulfilled with VAP. If you are the registering business partner and you do use your VAP solution to fulfill the opportunity, we will only pay the VAP fees instead of the sell fees. VAP replaces sell, which is a good deal for you because VAP is going to pay you more on an up more, and it's going to pay you up front than the sell fees. You'll note on this chart that the fees range anywhere from 5% in an enterprise account for which you were approved for sell only to 20% in a GB account where you were approved for ID and sell. Okay, charts 6 and 7 provide an overview of SBI requirements. I am not going to try to read all of these out to you. I'm just going to highlight a few of them, but I would encourage you to be familiar with all of these rules. On the first bullet, I've noted where you can go to access the SBI Operations Guide, and all of this is explained in more detail in the Operations Guide. Let's just start with participation. Participation in the program requires that you be approved in one product group, and for authorized product groups, that means you have to have a minimum of two technical and one sales cert in a reseller authorization group. For open product groups, you have to have a minimum of two technical and one sales in the software brand. And for ValueNet portfolios, you must be approved for the software ValueNet brand. So once you meet the minimum requirements for SBI, you can enroll in the program, and then you will select those product groups for which you meet the criteria. GPP will automatically check the opportunities that you register to be sure that you have the appropriate certifications by product group to submit an opportunity. If you do not, that line item will say ineligible. So sometimes we get calls and partners say, how come it says I'm ineligible here? It means you don't have the certification, or you may not have the certifications reflected in GPP. You may actually have them, but you haven't applied for that product group, which you have to do. Another thing I just want to point out here, SBI is not designed for government customers or public sector customers under eligible end users. I note that public sector end users are ineligible end users. We do have another program, VAP for Government Sales, which is very much like SBI in many ways, and if you have government customers, you should be looking at that program as well. Federal law prohibits us from paying fees for software sales after the fact to government accounts, and that's why, unfortunately, we can't do that. the definition for public sector accounts that we use for both the SBI program and the VAP for Government sales program is shown on the BANT template that you must complete and attach on every opportunity. So we put it out there as a reminder so you'll look at it and go, wait a minute, does this qualify as a public sector account or is this a commercial account that I can register for SBI? Okay, let's go to the next page. And on this page, I actually highlighted in red some of the most common issues that we have with opportunities. Oftentimes, we will see that opportunities make it all the way through the sales cycle and we are submitted for payment, and then the payment system denies payment. The payment system checks the rules. That's kind of the final check that we go through. And one of the things that causes them to kick out is that the opportunity must be submitted for SBI eligibility at least 15 days before the IBM sales order. So while the reviewer might notice that when they're checking the documentation, if it was 13, 14 days, they may not actually realize that, so they go ahead and approve it for payment or they send it on to what we call reviewing payment rules, and the system will kick it out. Another thing that happens sometimes is we give you up to 60 days after the sales order to submit for payment. However, this must be done before the opportunity expiration date. So if your opportunity is going to expire at the end of September and you close the opportunity at the end of September, you must submit for payment before the opportunity expires or request an extension. Or you could, you can also submit up to 30 days before the sales order date, so you could even submit for it early. But you cannot wait until it closes and expires to then submit for payment. Another problem that we have oftentimes is products on the matching sales order must match the correct brand family registered in GPP. You as a business partner are choosing the brand families that you are registering, and then based on what you register, we are actually going through that whole duplicate opportunity search that I stepped us through before. If you do not choose the correct brand family, we're not going to be able to match your sale to the opportunity, and basically no payment will be generated. We get the issue a lot where a partner has registered Tivoli Storage and the opportunity that closes actually closes under Tivoli Storage Open. Mary's going to go into more detail about how to successfully register opportunities, but I would strongly recommend that if there is a chance you might sell products that fall under one of two brand families, register both of them up front because it will guarantee that you're going to get payment on the back end. And then just real quickly, let me highlight the how to maximize your SBI fees. You want to be the first to register and the first to be approved. Don't neglect to register your Value Advantage Plus deals because as you saw in the fee summary, you can earn VAT fees and SBI ID fees, and it's really profitable for you. ValueNet, I'm going to talk about ValueNet a little bit more later, but a lot of partners have not been registering all their ValueNet opportunities because we paid differently on ValueNet opportunities up until the middle of June. Now we want to be sure that you get those in. One of the surest ways to be successful with SBI is to develop your own internal administrative processes to submit your registrations and claims in a timely manner. We also encourage you to review your opportunity statuses on a regular basis and be sure to challenge any decisions that we come back with within 30 days after we have returned a decision. And that could be on eligibility or payment. But if you don't agree with something, let us know then. Don't wait 6 months. All right. With that high-level overview, let's move into the changes that we've seen this year. Part number 8. Last year, end of November, we announced what we call the Small Deal Sales Documentation Waiver. And for this waiver, for qualifying opportunities, partners were not required to submit sales documentation to receive an SBI fee payment. sales documentation is probably one of the most burdensome parts of the SBI process for you and for us. So we kind of took a look at what was going on, how many opportunities were coming in at different levels, and determined that if you met certain criteria or if an opportunity met certain criteria, we would eliminate the need for sales documentation. In March of 2010, we raised that from $50,000 to $100,000. The goal was to lower the administrative overhead for participation, both on your part and ours, and to see some increased revenue from small deals. Now, there are some criteria that you have to meet, and you have to meet all of these criteria in order to be able to waive the documentation. All SBI-eligible records must be approved for ID and sell. You must, as the business partner, also be the reseller of the sales order. That sales order can only be matched to one opportunity. And the sum of the end user entitled price for all new license part numbers on that sales order, whether you had them registered for SBI or not, has to be less than or equal to $100,000. So we're excited about this. We think we think it has helped business partners to claim payments more quickly, and it's also cut down on the workload for both of us. At the same time that we announced the 100K small deals sales documentation waiver, we also announced that effective 3/15/2010, multiple two-way communications would no longer be required for SBI. In the past, we had three specific types of documentation that we looked for, and one of them was multiple two-way communications between the business partner and the customer. In retrospect, we realized that we probably were a little misleading in this announcement, but we're not changing the sales documentation requirements by eliminating this requirement. Business partners told us it was sometimes difficult to provide two or more examples of two-way communications. They'd say, oh, we had meetings, whatever. By eliminating the requirement, we did not intend to change the overall criteria for sales documentation. We're still looking for sales documentation that clearly shows a business partner's involvement in the sales cycle and the actions that influence the end user customer to acquire software. So to that end, if you have emails that would bolster your sales documentation, I would suggest that you continue to include those. They don't have to be two-way. There don't have to be two of them. But we urge you to include emails that show your involvement. For example, if you delivered a demonstration of proposed software and there's an email about that or a calendar entry, that helps to bolster your recommendation. If you send a written proposal to the customer that you've included as your recommendation, give us the email that has the proposal attached. If you have emails where you're responding to customer questions regarding previous information you may have provided, show that, because, again, that shows your involvement in the sales cycle. You must still include a specific recommendation and a quantity configuration, but, again, let me tell you that I would appreciate it if you would include any written documentation that you have that shows you furthered the sales efforts. The sales documentation must address the specific customer situation. We're not looking for boilerplate proposals for certain kinds of software and then a configuration. We're looking for something that addresses that particular situation. And in the event that, we need to see more, we can request that the business partner provide documentation that includes evidence that the recommendation and the quantity config you've provided in your GPP record were submitted to the end user. Okay, chart number 10, up to 2X competitive incentive. As I mentioned earlier, SBI is the program that everybody wants to be part of in IBM. In second quarter, we announced a competitive incentive to reward business partners who sell against or who win against Oracle. And SBI is the base that we are using to determine eligibility and payment for this incentive. We realized that Competitive wins require a heavy investment. They're complex. And so we came out with this competitive incentive that was tied to sales plays and built it on the SBI framework. In April of 2010, we announced this competitive incentive for Oracle replacement opportunities. And in July, we expanded the incentive to include even more products. We added HP and Sybase competitive opportunities, and we also added business analytics and quality management part numbers on the IBM side. So if you look at chart number 11, this goes into the detail of how it works. First of all, you have to be an SVI because it's built on top of SVI. So you take care of step one right there. And then you submit your competitive opportunity just like you would submit a regular SVI opportunity. It is a regular SVI opportunity. What we ask you to do in addition is you will attach an equivalency form and apply a category and value code in GPP.